thanks a lot. It's always very encouraging, and this is really the big reward of developing that kind of software, to come to conventions like these and just talk to users and see that what you've been doing behind your desk basically for the last couple of years has such an impact on people's daily lives. And that's very rewarding.
So can you tell us a little bit about the genesis of this project? How did the idea for talks really begin?
And I think it was Thorsten who originally came up with the idea. Wouldn't it be good to have speech on a mobile phone and to be able to read what's on a display? Uh-huh. And we were tossing the idea around for a couple of years, really, all, and always that no, that's not possible. Phones are just too slow, and you can't do synthetic speech on a phone like that because there's just not enough processing power, and you can't control the audio in that way. And then I think about 3 years ago, we suddenly sort of it struck us that with the Nokia 9110 communicator, we suddenly had all the pieces in hand for doing that, and that basically a screen reader for mobile phones was in reach. And we did the first simple version that just concatenated words from a huge library of compressed pre-synthesized words. So we would run them through a synthesizer on the PC and then just stick one after another, and if the word wasn't in a library, it would just be spelled.
Right.
It was very crude and very slow, but it was the first time we had this on a phone. That was, I think, about 3 years ago.
That's 3 years ago, and of course we've come such a long way since then. Now there's the Eloquence TTS, which works, and talk about other synthesizers, the Babel synthesizer, I believe, for the languages.
Yes, we're looking at the moment, after using Eloquence for I think seven languages and being very happy with that, we're expanding to new localizations at the moment.
Yeah.
Like Scandinavian languages, Turkish, Arabic, and what we're going to use for this is the Pocket Babel synthesizer that we currently have in testing and final stages of development, because obviously with Eloquence people have come to expect a high standard of stability and quality, and so we don't want to release the new languages before we think they're really ready for prime time.
Okay. If you could, for us, just highlight some of the real challenges of developing access software in the Symbian environment.
There have been, it's a lot of individual issues that you have to work around, and each time you think, no, this application we can't do. For example, for a long time, the WAP browser, or actually a combined WAP internet browser on the newer phones. Mm-hmm. We for a long time thought we can't do that because we can't access its screen contents. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like a replay of what the PC scene went through in the late 90s with Windows and Internet Explorer.
Uh-huh.
And we thought, no, we can't do that. And then I think a couple of weeks ago we really had the final breakthrough, and Steve is now showing the WAP browser here, for example, viewing TV listings on his phone.
Yes.
And we're going to work on that now to expand it and make it more convenient. But that's another application we just cracked. And there's lots of those little steps.
And you just have to hang in there and be creative,
yes.
I guess.
And each new phone has its own little challenges again. Suddenly one application that always worked doesn't work anymore, or audio gets crackly.
Okay.
And just keeping track of that.
Let's talk a little bit about the ethos and the philosophy behind Talks, because unlike some of the competitive products that we're seeing coming onto the market, Talks really is a screen reader for the phone, and as much as possible, you try to leave the original interface intact. You try not to change the software radically that's already on the phone. You're really adding to it and making it accessible in the same way that a screen reader would for Windows. Why have you chosen to take that approach, and why do you think that's the best approach to take?
Basically, the idea came from our first experiments already on the Nokia 9110, where we found that all the functions that you get on a modern mobile phone, more than just type in a number and dial, but having things like phone book, text messaging, you get things like calendaring on phones as well, and that people would soon want all those functions, and that we could never keep up with the likes of Nokia to implement them and re-implement them and do all the work they have done on their user interface over again. And what we found was that on keyboard-operated phones, like most of the newer phones still are, where everything can be done by pressing keys rather than using a pen. And at the same time, phones that have a relatively small screen, Nokia already have done involuntarily a lot of the work for doing a good speech user interface. Because you have a small screen, so you have to...
There's no mouse.
There is no mouse. Yep. And you have to set up the menus very precisely so you can get everywhere with a step of selecting from a few simple pick lists, and you have simple dialogues, and you don't have problems with what window currently has to focus and so on as you have on Windows. There is only the one application that's in the foreground. And we found that until today that has basically held, and that if you just read the things that are on the screen in a clever way, you automatically end up with a very good speech user interface. And we don't have to deal very much with the complexities of what the applications themselves do. As long as we just find the text that's on the screen, all the underlying work that hundreds of software engineers work on for Nokia basically is done for us. And we keep track of every update automatically.
From a customer and a user perspective, one of the things I find particularly gratifying about dealing with BugCon is that I'm dealing with the developers directly. Even on the lists, it's yourself and Torsten who are answering the questions and taking suggestions from users directly. You haven't got a big sales firewall between shielding yourselves from the outside world, and that's very refreshing. And how important is the user feedback, and to what extent can users influence the future development of tools?
That's actually very important for us. Of course, I would say that, wouldn't I? But
what else could you say?
Yeah, but it is a lot of the user feedback. Not necessarily every single suggestion that comes up on the mailing list will immediately end up in the product. Mm. But a lot of what's very important from reading the lists, for example, and from talking to people at conferences like this, is just sort of the collective impression, what things are burning on people's mind, what applications are they most interested in, what are they most annoyed in, and often there are very simple suggestions that come up. Oh, why don't you... Either I've seen the screen and there is some text that you don't read and that would be so helpful, or why don't you just read this and this when I press this key? And sometimes it's very simple, sometimes it's nowhere near as simple as it looks.
Another development that we haven't mentioned yet, the Braille support that you're adding in that you've been showing today, will open up the phone to a deaf-blind audience. Do you find that important?
That's something that has also been on our mind.
You buy flashcards.
When developing that, of course, at the moment we're still more of a speech-focused mindset, but the idea is still to make the phone completely controllable from the Braille display.
We have achieved that for the Communicate already on the 9110 and on the 9210.
Right.
And from the beginning we got some ideas from deafblind persons who wrote emails and said, okay, it would be so nice to have a possibility to write something into the system and then to call someone and just play it.
Let's introduce you for our listeners.
It's Torsten.
It's Torsten.
Yeah.
We've got both of you. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Shake your hand. Torsten, let me shake your hand. Hello there, Dave Williams, AC Radio. Sorry, I didn't recognize your voice. Well, I wouldn't. I haven't heard it before, you see.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, no.
BugCon, the couple
of BugCon, Torsten, and Mark. Well, guys, what do you want to tell people? I mean, this is your opportunity now on ACB Radio, and we're glad to be able to have this precious time with you, and we appreciate there's a lot of demands on your time.
I think what we want to tell are two things basically. One is that we really like the user feedback. We like to receive user feedback as much as possible. And of course, the mailing list is very nice for that. We also had partial user approaching us directly if they have a specific question or something. It's very welcome. And one thing that we have done to improve this handling of mailing lists and private email is that we have hired a person who is now currently basically educating himself to get really very familiar with talks and the whole thing. And he will be really occupied with answering emails very quickly, hopefully, and getting gathering more information so we can improve talks. I mean, the more time we have to spend on doing business and doing development, the less time we have for the user, and so we have to do something about that. Otherwise, we would end up in a similar situation that us certain other companies.
Yeah.
The second thing that I would like to take you with home is the idea of having a screen reader for mobile phone is, of course, one thing that also allows us to use services that are available on the mainstream market. One example is, of course, the WIP, the WAP service, which is very nice to use. You can get a lot of information like news or train schedules, something like that.
Yes.
The other thing that we are currently working on is a product named Wayfinder.
Uh-huh.
I think it's also available in the USA. It's a GPS navigation system.
Right.
With a pedestrian mode, with car mode, everything working very nicely. And it is already working nicely with talks.
Do you have any idea if or when that will be available? Or?
Oh, well, I mean, the system is available.
Yeah.
It is already working with the newest beta of talks. It has only very minor glitches.
Okay.
And we need to work with this company, and hopefully we can convince them to do a little change in their software. But even without that change, it's already working very nicely.
Now, you guys obviously developing for the Symbian platform, and Symbian obviously only available on a limited number of handsets.
Yes.
Do you see in the future talks it being possible to have talks available for other mobile phone platforms? I appreciate there's a lot of proprietary platforms within the industry, each company using their own software. The problem, I think, for many people is that quite often the Symbian phones are a little bit more expensive and possibly out of the reach of some people. How do we widen that range of phones? How do we get talks on more handsets?
I think the current market development shows that more and more phones come out to support the Symbian environment.
Yes.
And of course, there are some cheaper phones among them.
Yes,
that's the right word. Once the network providers pick up this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Singular has just done, with this pre-announcement.
Yes.
You can get the price of the phone down by committing to a contract and so on. So that's one thing that we can do. The problem is to do something like talks, you have two things. You have to have a CPU with the right horsepower,
uh-huh.
enough memory and so on. And you also need to be able to do it. I mean, if you only have a Java-enabled phone, but there's no accessibility interface in that Java browser, you cannot do much about accessibility. Except if the mobile network provider, the mobile phone manufacturer themselves would implement it into the phones.
Right.
And I mean, for them, it's not a huge market.
Okay.
So it's very difficult for them to say, okay, we do this.
Mm-hmm.
Except in very minor cases and maybe to a very limited extent.
Okay.
So I think the platform that we have chosen currently is about 94% of the smartphones.
Yes.
This may change, of course. I mean, Microsoft tries to change it.
Yes.
So probably they will have at least some success doing that.
Mm.
And we cannot easily say we're going to do talks on other platforms.
Uh-huh.
So
obviously, if there's anything else you want to add, then feel free to do that. Just wanted to find out about who Marcus and Torsten really are. You guys friends? Do you guys go back? Did you go to college together? Or how do you guys get to know one another?
Oh, yeah. That's a nice story, I guess.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of software development on the DOS platform a long time ago.
Okay, I remember DOS.
It
just seemed like a long time ago.
Yeah, so I started to write TSRs because I started to write the Braille driver for Handytech.
Okay.
To get more information about TSRs, I was looking for literature.
Yes.
Marcus, who was just 19 at that time, had written a book about TSR and behind-the-scene programming for DOS.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this information. I thought, hey, that's interesting. I can get access to a book author, so I can get the text of that book and use it.
Get the book in ASCII or something.
Yeah, something like that.
At that stage, OCR technology was very expensive and not very widely available.
Yeah, I think it wasn't even available at that
time. Right, right.
And so, so that was how it started. And then during the years, we worked together in some.
So just to clarify, you contacted Marcus to ask him if you could get access to his book.
His book, yes.
Yeah. And you were happy for that, Margus? You were happy to give this guy, this Torsten guy that you'd never heard of, that was a developer in the DOS environment, you were quite happy to say, sure, I'll let you have the text of my book?
Well, I obviously had to clear it with the publisher first.
And,
but in the end, it was no problem, and we stayed in touch. And the punchline of the story is really that Torsten was one of only a handful of readers of the book eventually, because the publisher went bust shortly after.
The
book never got printed. So the audience was a bit smaller than I originally thought.
So Torsten really is the phoenix which has arisen from the ashes of that project.
400 unprinted pages, yeah.
400 unprinted pages, and here you are. Which came first, Talks or BookCom?
Oh, well, no. Well, basically, we started with Talks, and then we were looking for having a joint business.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you just use our last name, basically. So it's B for brand, U for the German and,
right,
which is UND,
yes,
and G for Gröber, which,
right,
is Marcus. So it was brand and Gröber communications.
Right.
So that's how the name came. And of course, it came after Talks, because at first we really started this off as a, well, I mean, I wanted to get access. You know, Marcus said, hey, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started to work on it and showed it around. And even though it was very, well, rudimental, it was still, there was
still worked,
a couple of people who liked it. And
yeah,
I think we sold it mostly in Germany and Italy.
Yes.
And
Marcus was saying yesterday it's very popular in Italy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talks is very popular.
So who, I mean, do you claim that it was a joint idea, or did one of you come up with the idea and then the other one of you ran with it?
Yeah, I think it was a joint idea. I mean, I came from the accessibility programming side.
Right.
I also had some business experience, but, well, so I was self-employed to doing some work, consulting, programming,
yes,
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus came more from came into the mobile world. I mean, so, you know,
okay,
doing programming on the for mobile phones.
Uh-huh.
So I was just throwing together these two things and trying to make something
that was really
out of that. And of course, you always are enthusiastic about this thing, and then you suddenly see other people say the same.
Yes, people love it. That must have been a really brave step, to have enough confidence in the product to say, we're going to go commercial with this, and we're going to sell this. Have enough confidence, because it is such a small market.
I mean, on one hand, you're right, of course. It's very difficult to get the customers in the accessibility world.
Yes.
But we have found that there is a very high level of attraction, of course, for this product.
Yes.
So, basically, you can show it to someone. I mean, I remember that the first year we have been to Side Village, we just walked around the floor. We did not have a roof.
We just walked around with like one phone, isn't it?
We just, you know, you open up the communicator, it speaks something, and then the person stops and says, hey, what's that?
And then they get their credit card out.
Yes, almost like that.
Fantastic.
So it's really so attractive to people.
Yes.
That even someone, I mean, if you don't have money, I mean, you may be unemployed, and
yes,
unfortunately that's the case for many
blind people. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but even if you don't have the money, you try to raise it somehow.
Yes.
You try to find someone who gives it to you as a Christmas present or whatever. I mean, because the mobile phone is so important for most people in this world today.
Yes. Yeah. I can't imagine my life without a mobile phone in my pocket now.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. I mean, just
this is nothing to do with Talks, but you guys are very creative, very innovative, and I figure if anybody can find ways to solve this problem, it may be you guys. But you have essentially, with Talks, given us access to a world of mobile technology which really wasn't possible previously. obviously, there are still other barriers. Accessible set-top boxes, things like DVD players, video recorders, these kinds of devices becoming increasingly more complex. Is there a platform that's emerging in that environment that it may be possible to develop any kind of assistive technology for in down the line? Is it an area that interests you guys?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, of course, we are very interested in these areas. Mainly, we are interested in developing talks but anything that's around that is very interesting.
Okay.
I mean, there are things. I mean, currently we have some solutions. For instance, there is a program that allows you to use your phone as a remote control.
That's right. The Siloc IR.
From Siloc, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, this is quite interesting. We have talked with them about making this program accessible.
Yes.
And I mean, this could solve some issues. It's a nice start, you know. What we focus on mostly is combining off-the-shelf technology in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key, because any solution that is not for the mainstream market, it's very expensive. Obviously, it must be.
Basically, when it comes to other types of devices than mobile phones, I think we are still lying a bit in wait for something really mainstream to emerge. I think something could come from, for example, home automation and people trying to integrate ever more devices in their living room into one system and controlling it with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Things like universal plug and play. And something could come out of that, but I don't think it's quite at the stage yet where mobile phones were a couple of years ago.
Well, you think there is potential in the future?
There's a lot of potential because, I mean, everybody has a mobile phone. So the mobile phone manufacturers now have to look for new markets. They have to look for people who buy their phones. You can imagine, for instance, if you would just be able to program your washing machine using your mobile phone, it would be very nice.
Oh, wonderful. I don't want to finish this without once again thanking and congratulating both of you. Was there anything either of you wanted to say about BugCom or talks or the future?
One thing we want to say is we appreciate attention by the ACB Radio. We appreciate it already a long time ago when Mike Calvo.
Yes, right, yes.
And of course, Jonathan is very, I mean, I think he's a very powerful talks user and he loves it.
Yes.
So it's really very good to get in touch with all these people.
Oh, thank you. What you've done is led the way in this, really, to make mobile phones accessible, really have changed lives for people. I used to have numbers in my head. I don't remember any phone numbers anymore. The calendar and appointments and the synchronizing with Outlook and all these things I do, and that just wouldn't be possible. So I can carry all that information around in my pocket, and, you know, in the past that just wasn't possible. So thank you. Congratulations. Marcus, did you have any final words?
I think that's a very rare occasion for a software developer. I've been working on a lot of software projects, but basically this is the project that's affecting people's lives most. Many other things are like nice to have, and could we do this just a little bit better than the other guy?
Uh-huh.
But this is the opportunity to basically create a new product and see how it shapes people's lives and how it helps them. And that's an extremely rewarding thing for
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you BugCom. Thank you.